Trying to figure out where to start this morning. I do have some things to share. I want to share a little bit of maybe an update of church life, where we find ourselves at today as a congregation, as a body. But as I think it was actually as Andre was up here sharing, I became quite aware of that that's not where it starts. I have to back up before I start sharing what's on my heart. And I have to back up before Andre to someone sitting a couple spaces over, and that is Mom and Dad, Peter and Agnes. That is Roger and Marge. That's Claire and Ruth. That's others of you who have been here much longer than I've been. That includes Ken and Elaine and your investment. And there's a recognition that this dates back a long time. And God's word says that those that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Those who have a hunger for him will see him and experience him. And I just need to honor you and recognize that in you before we go on. Because you are still standing. You've been in that boxing match many times. And you've maybe been a little bit bloodied. But you're still standing. And you're still hungry. And you're still thirsty to see all of what God has in his kingdom. And it hasn't always been easy. And so I see it in your son and in your other children. I don't want to pick on anyone, but this has been a place for you, Andre. Many years, many beyond what I know and understand, where you experienced the kindness of God, a safe place, a hunger and thirst for more of him. And when you've been emotionally unable to step forward and say, I want to go anymore, you've had a team behind you, a family who says, yes, you can do it. We're going to stand with you. We're going to encourage you. We're going to see you strong so that we can see God's kingdom come forth. And I bless you guys this morning because you have also stood. You've also fought the fight. And it's not always easy, but you've persevered. And we've seen an impact as a result. David and Svea, you have stood. You're still standing. You've gone for it, van or without van. You're driving to a destination to reach a goal that's in your heart, and you will not be dissuaded from it. So I have to start there. I have to recognize that. And, you know, we haven't been on an easy journey, even these last years that I've been here. Wow. It's been tumultuous. It's been up and down. And there's been times I wanted to bail and say, someone else do it. Enough of that, you know? How many times are we going to go around this circle, or how many times are we going to go into this side and this side until we find our traction and move in? And the answer is, you're not going to ever find it perfectly. You just got to keep going. One day you'll get there, but don't stop, because if you do, you'll find yourself in the ditch. You won't be standing. You'll be lying down, and it will be over. So we keep fighting the good fight all the way to the end. And we honor those who've gone before us, and we keep going with a desire to go further, to experience more of what God has for us. That's my heart this morning. Thank you to all of you. Thank you so much for not settling, for not saying good enough. But we want to experience that all God has. Anyways. It's a good, thank you. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate that. So during these summer months, we've spent some time gathering as leadership, evaluating, maybe taking some inventory of where we're at as a church today. And we've talked about some of the things that we feel need some attention going into the fall. And we want to continue that conversation over these next weeks. We're going to probably allocate some time at it towards the end of September and have a congregational meeting the last week in September, September 30th, where that's going to be kind of our main focus about what we talk about. So as I share maybe a little more generally this morning, I invite you to take hold of what I'm saying, talk about it, interact about it, ruminate, pray about it, and be ready end of September to share your hearts, to talk as a congregation. What does this mean for us? Where do we go with some of these things? In addition to that, and I'll be getting back to this a little bit more, we're inviting a couple, David and Sarah Bechtold, to come middle of October, October 12 to 14 weekend, and give us some of their input. Walk alongside us a little bit, share a little bit of their heart. And I'm going to talk about what that pertains to a little bit later on. So we'll get there. So one of the areas that we've really sensed from the Lord that we need to engage on is the area of family and body life within our midst. There's a recognition that as we have moved, and this is part of that journey of the pastoral and the apostolic, and maybe some tension between, but as we've moved from more of a traditional pastoral model into this fivefold ministry model, it's not been without hiccups, okay? It's not just smooth running and away we go. And the local congregation has at times been missed. Their needs, their everyday practical areas. And we want to give that more attention. So I'm just going to back up a little bit here because I think it's important to say when we talk about the pastoral focus and the apostolic focus, they can seem like they're sometime moving in different directions, right? And even maybe taking us different places. But they have to work together. So just real quickly, again, the pastoral primary, well, not primary, but you get me. Just to try to say it quickly, the function is always going to be to care for and look for the internal. The broken, the hurting, the families that are in need, building them up, getting them healthy, getting them strong, taking care of the body life. The apostolic is always going to come and call out what's inside of you. You've got this in you, and let's go. There's a purpose, there's a goal, there's a mission, there's people who need to hear, need to be saved, and it's going to call you out and call you to that purpose, okay? So, what happens often is we get kind of a little bit this direction or this direction, and it's hard to walk in the middle of that balance and come to what we need. So, real quick here, the apostolic keeps the big picture vision in front of us, challenging, encouraging us to step out, advance, take new territory. Once that new territory has been taken, it needs to be occupied. If it's not occupied, it will revert back to its previous form. Okay? The pastoral helps us occupy that territory. It strengthens the family. It tells Andre, you can do it. You're strong enough. We're going to meet your emotional needs. Now go. And the apostolic kicks in. Don't sit here in comfort. Now it's time to rise up and go. There's something to do. There's a mission. So you see how they work in tandem? We need both. Without both, we'll never accomplish what God has called us to do. We have to have them. So, with that said, there's an awareness that we don't do this perfectly, okay? We don't always walk in perfect tandem. It's a little bit like the three-legged race. You got to learn to walk that one, and it's much easier to run on your own than your strength, okay? But if you run on your own than your strength, you're going to go to that ditch. So you're, like it or not, tied to the guy beside you, and you better work out how to work this middle leg together so that you get someplace together, so that when you do there, you can accomplish something and are strong. So there's ebbs and flows of this. We're not perfect. We're not walking perfect balance. We go a little bit this way. It's like a course correction, right? When something's way over here and you're pulling and tugging, you're not going to maybe pull it back right perfectly in the middle. You might overcompensate a little bit of this, and you need to go back and forth until you get centered. A little bit of the journey I believe we're on. Okay. All that to say that today, I think we recognize we're in a place where the shepherding gifts need additional focus. And they have been lacking in some of their attention. The body, its different parts, I think need both strengthening and unification. We need common purpose, vision, direction that we can all rally around. And I'm going to pick on some areas this morning. I'm going to pick on youth ministry a bit. I'm going to pick on Sunday school ministry because they're real easy to pick on. Okay, I'm also going to talk about small groups. I'm going to talk about community builders, fostering family, all of that, because it's all part of the same package. But it's easier to pick on a couple specific ones for my purposes. So we recognize that it's not the case that nothing is happening in all the areas. There is. There is. And we are greatly blessed by what's happening. Incredibly blessed. And we recognize that people have come up and stood in those places and been pillars for us. I have talked to Lucy and Wanda. I've talked to Jesse and Karen specifically because I don't want them to hear anything different when I talk this morning. So they're tracking with me on this. Okay, we also recognize that much of it has been disjointed. It's been fragmented, okay? And there's a need for an interconnected direction so that we're flowing together and able to support one another effectively in the areas of ministry that we're involved in. And it's not an island unto itself. So we can help strengthen and equip the body to go forth and conquer these new territories. We want to do that. So I got a little model here, and it's the Mickey Mouse Church. I'm not saying that we are a Mickey Mouse Church. I don't know who came up with this. It's something that some of you might have heard before. I remember back in my youth pastor years, they talked about the one-eared Mickey Mouse Church, and it was related to youth. But if you could put that PowerPoint up for me. Okay, there's the church, big nice round circle, and, is the slideshow running so my click works? There we go. Here we got the one-eared Mickey Mouse, we got youth, and this whole model talks about being in a state in which the church and programs such as youth ministry operate on separate planes and have very little overlap of one another. Now, I got to stop maybe right here and say I am incredibly thankful for Lucy and Wanda, and I believe they heard from God and stepped in at a timely time in our congregation to help our youth ministry in a time of need. And without them, we would have been in trouble. So we are incredibly, incredibly grateful, and I have said this to them over and over again. So this is, yes, amen. As a father, I actually told Wanda, and she cried just like she's doing right now, that without their timely stepping up and stepping into what God had told them to do, I don't think my sons, and I'm looking at Benjamin and Owen as the ones that were two most affected, would be where they are today. You've had such an important part and seeing them walk up and have connection to this body and walking forward with the Lord. Now, I'm still going to pick on youth because it's easy. Okay. As you see, this has very little overlap. They're not necessarily in sync, cohesive, humming together, supporting one another the way they could be. And what happens with the youth who are involved in this sphere, or we can use Sunday school to complete the Mickey Mouse, and again, I'm using this as a model. I'm not picking on Sunday school. In the same way, functioning tongues, so what happens when people or in youth, and they get a little bit older. They're not connected to the rest of the church. They're in their sphere on the old there. They maybe lose touch with some of the people and the belonging that connects them. Well, they'll very easy fall into the white area, disconnected from the church and the youth group because of the disconnection between the two of them. And they can fall between the cracks, and we can lose them. Now, this is more of what we're going for. To see these ministries integrated, part of the church as a whole, with same purpose, direction, and vision, flowing together, supporting one another. Now, if someone falls out of that sphere of youth, is not connected strongly to what's happening, they're still within the larger circle. There's other areas that are coming along. There's other relationships. There's other bridges. There's other connections in order to function together. So what I'm saying to this morning is we haven't failed. We haven't done everything wrong, but we're fragmented. We have pockets of things that are happening and going well, but we need cohesion. We need to come together in a better way. Okay. Did that make sense? Is that a good visual? Okay, good. So, there are many pockets of effective and good ministry happening in our midst. There are small groups. I could have thrown small groups in here too. Actually, I even think I did. I don't know if I can click forward here. But even there, I threw small groups in there. And they are doing amazing things. I hear you in your ladies' groups. I hear some of the other groups are going together, and I hear testimonies and ministries of what God has done, and it's fantastic, and I love it. But I think even there, it's fragmented. We don't necessarily, as a body, own and know what's happening there or are blessed by it to the degree we could be if there was more cohesion, okay? So we want to improve in that area. We want to do better at community and corporate vision, living, learning, and working together more closely as a body. So now I want to pause a little bit, and I want to say this. Watching this body and how it has responded as we have gone through this term that we no even longer like to throw out, transition. We don't even like to hear that word anymore. Humbles and excites me. Because we have seen a body that is no longer looking to the one-man leadership and someone to fix it all for them. We've seen a body that has embraced the identity message, the priesthood of all believers, who is caring for one another, who are being the hand and feet of Jesus. And maybe that's part of why we've seen some of this fragmentation, because they're saying, it's in me, I desire this, I love this, and I'm going for it. And that's fantastic. So I say, we're well positioned. There's no one looking for title or position or to make it happen here. It's actually the opposite. Don't give me a title. Don't give me a position. Don't put me into the structure. And that's a good thing because there's humility. There's love and care for another. There's recognition that Christ is our head. Unless he do it, it is not going to happen. Okay? I'm not going to fix it. You're not going to fix it. Don't put me in that place. That's fantastic. So I'm excited because we are positioned in a way where I think we're ready to engage in this, talk about it without pointing at one another, the lacks, the failures from the past, who got it right, who got it wrong, who should have done this or who should have done that, but we can look to the headship of Christ together in surrender and make ourselves available to him and say, Lord, we're a body here. You've put all these things in us. You've put this gifting in us. How can we better come together to bring some more cohesion and direction? Okay? So in 2017, the annual report, I wrote this. I said, during what could be described as a season of struggle and transition in our body, I have watched hearts stay soft and relationships grow to a deeper and deeper level of trust and oneness. I believe there's been an invitation to heart preparation, an offer to make ourselves ready that we may be entrusted with the secret things of God. You know, that there is something so precious and beautiful. I told you I've been tempted to bail at times, but there's something so precious and beautiful in this place. When I see the children and the freedom they have in worship. When I see people have been able to engage from their hearts. When I see the seeking of the Holy Spirit and his leading and the presence first. There's something so beautiful. And there's something unique that God has given to this body to share with the larger community and region. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe it's worth fighting for and engaging in. So I went on and I wrote this. There is a triad that states, and for you have heard me say this too many times, sorry, but I'm going to keep saying it. There's a triad that states family before function, character before gifting, and relationship before release. Family before function, character before gifting, and relationship before release. I feel this is a good description of what God is doing in our midst, and I'm going to read this twice too. The breadth of new release and outpouring will flow from the depth of family, relationship, and character. You can't bypass it. It will always come back to that foundation. The breadth of new release and outpouring will flow out from the depth of family, relationship, and character. We live in a culture that has shifted us away from undergirding families to, I would say, often is attacking them. Yeah, you know, you're talking, where's Jeff? There you are. You're reading from Ephesians 6, putting on the full armor. We got to get it all on because we're at war. There's a constant attack. And let me tell you this, if we do not get intentional and fight for undergirding families and say that status quo or maintenance is enough, we will not make it. Because there's a constant bombardment against that. So sometimes we can get tired. We can get a little lackadaisical. Good enough. It's going to take care of ourselves. But we will not win the day that way. It's not going to work. So, God has a plan. He has instituted the family. And he will never do it another way. That is his way. That's how he's going to get it done. It's his main weapon through which to reveal himself and accomplish his purpose. He has a plan that godly individuals will produce godly families, which would unify and result in local churches that will become a light set on a hill to change their community and transform regions. You with me? Godly individuals equals healthy families, healthy churches, which transform communities and regions. Amen. That's the way transformation will come. So over the next couple months, as I said, we want to explore this with you. We want to share ideas. We want to hear what's on your hearts concerning what I've shared this morning. I'm going to refer back to that for those who are not here to listen to this at other time to join us. And in addition to that, we want to have David and Sarah Bechtold come and do a workshop with us to help us walk through some of this as a congregation on the weekend of October 12 to 14. Now, who are David and Sarah Bechtold? They were speakers at the FCA convention, which a lot of us were a part of in May. I think there were many people involved here in one form or another, worship, dance, helping out with the practical areas. And I think there were maybe six or seven of us, including myself, that heard David and Sarah speak at one of the workshops. David is the family pastor at City Church in Madison, Wisconsin. And they were expressing their heart for family and the father's heart for family and seeing that functioning within a congregation. And it hit a lot of our hearts. It struck a chord. And I'm just going to share really briefly an overview, and then I'm going to invite Ruth and Elaine, who were also part of that workshop, to share a little bit of how it impacted them as an opportunity to envision and preparation for them coming. One of the things they said was the greatest small group ever designed is the family. And hence, the greatest small group leaders are our parents. So we can have all these small groups, but it always reverts back to that. And I want the other small groups as well, don't get me wrong. Healthy parents build strong families. Healthy families grow churches. Healthy churches influence communities. Healthy communities impact regions. Those were their 4 points. And they were highlighting the need for investing into and building strong marriages and parents and families as a foundation for life and ministry. They talked about the foundational need for belonging. There's a foundational need in every heart for belonging. And again, you can't bypass that. If you don't belong, if you're not connected at that level, so these other things are tools. And we even some of the things that they were involved in were marriage ministry, and helping the marriages, parenting, teaching classes, different things, community-driven events, even things like our movie night. But other events, game nights, things that pull things together, but it was never about that. It was about belonging. It was about promoting a healthy, strong family in order that we can accomplish our mission. So that's some of what they bring to the table. And they're not going to come in here to say, this is the way you do it. This is the program. This is the way it flows. They're to come here to share hearts and to say, where are you guys at? Here are some maybe practical ideas and steps that you can even incorporate into some of your ministries that you can glean from for use, for Sunday school, for small group, for community builders, for teaching with intention, different things like that. So we just want to have that as a, maybe a little bit of a, help us get going, help us talk about this, help us figure out how this is all going to look. But at this time, I'm just going to pause, and who wants to come first, Elaine or Ruth? Ruth will come first, and then Elaine, if you'd follow her and share your hearts a little bit, also what you heard about what David and Sarah shared. Thank you.
When Dan asked me if I had something to share, I thought, yeah, you know, I can go back and share some testimony of this being my church family, like a long time ago now, like, and then having been gone for a while and then come back and appreciated that this church family. So anyway, ever since I sat in David and Sarah's session at, on the kids and youth at the FCA conference that he was mentioning, I've been pondering about what they said and why it seemed so significant to me. And I can't deny that there isn't something inside of me about the kids. And I was almost fearful to go there. I go, okay, God, you're not asking me to get involved with that again, right? A little bit like, okay, some of you are kind of laughing, but because maybe you felt the same way, because sometimes there's this heavy thing about it. But I just want to share that there is, like, what stood out to me at this conference was about vision and passion. And maybe I care because I was involved in the past. And when my kids were young, I ran the children's church here from the age of 5 to 12, all in one room. There was 90 kids in the Quonset between the ages of 5 and 12. And it's a funny recall, but I was thinking about that time, and I was thinking how, I was a young mom, and I would go and have a bath. Okay, one way to get away from 4 kids, a dog, you know, a business, everything. I'd have a bath, and I was just asking God, okay, what are you saying for the kids? And I started taking a little paper and pen with me, and I would get these ideas because I would ask God, what should I teach the kids? And I found that he would give me ideas in what I was learning personally at that time. And so I remember me and my team, I wrote a whole curriculum of fivefold ministry. And so even like now when I'm talking about, okay, this is way back in the 80s. Okay, who of you were in my class way back there? Because I know there's a few. Yes, there is. And Rachel. And so, that's a long time ago. Now your parents and still here. So it's interesting. So those are, when I think back, that was a good memory for me. It was so interesting to see how God would just give me these ideas and then I would, you know, bring them out. So there's some people that have been here for a long time, and then there's some of you that are new and that have decided to make this church their family church. And so when we talk about family, that is just the whole thing that's so meaningful. So even now I go, okay, well, what is in my heart about the kids right now? And I try to connect with them one-on-one because they are my family. And I try to draw them in with a dance and that. So sometimes when I try to talk to them, they go like, why is she talking to me, you know? And then sometimes there's shy smiles. And then sometimes I found, you know, someone, when the kids are little, they'll look at me and they go, look, Miss Ruth, is this okay what I'm doing? And I'm going, yes, like, let go and enjoy your dance, right? So there's those little connections that are really meaningful to me with the kids. And I think that's why we're as a family, we all have that ability to connect with each other and the meaningfulness of that. 'Cause Because what is our vision and heart for the kids at Maranatha today? What is it that has been in Karen's heart all these years to do what to do what she's doing? Like, why? So should we ask this why? And each of the individual parents that have been involved in Children's Church in some way, like, why are you doing this? And it's a good thing to talk about this. Why? And so I believe that David and Sarah Bechtold have some good ideas and experience that might be helpful in our how-tos, but in the area of creating greater vision, like, not that it's new vision, it's just like, okay, the vision of why we're doing this. So are we curious enough to see, okay, God, what are you doing in Maranatha right now? And so I am. I'm curious to see what's happening, what's going to happen next. And the other thing I just want to say too, yeah, this thing about passion, it's not difficult, because I've been involved in church through the years in different things, and I've come to a place where if something gets hard, God says to me, oh, it's okay, Ruth, just back up a little bit, because it shouldn't be hard. I go, really? And he goes, yes. And so right now I'm involved in what I'm passionate in, that is releasing dance. So I am involved with the kids, and I love that. They're so precious. They're so precious, so cute.
So some of what I say will overlap a little bit what has been shared already. some of the things that stood out to me in this workshop was the growing strong families being the foundation for a church body. And but what does that look like? And even in their sharing what they shared, it's not like it's necessarily going to look like however their church looks. That's not what we're saying here. But there's something that they've communicated that just awakened in my heart and the hearts of those who were listening. The thing that Ruth mentioned was this whole aspect of functioning out of vision instead of out of need. And for me, that made me look at even at myself in the area of worship. Okay, functioning out of vision as opposed to, okay, we really need people here. No, it's rather vision will draw people in, and the people who have that same passion. And for my heart, I see just a passion for his presence being manifested and through worship. And I'd like to see that in every area of the church body, whether it be Sunday school youth, small groups, wherever. That the passion for the presence and for the moving of the Holy Spirit. The other thing that there are just a couple of other things he mentioned. He talked about the importance of the Word of God, and that in the nursery, they would bring Bibles into the nursery and open the Bibles up and have the kids just touch the pages of the Bible. This is the Bible. These are the scriptures. This is the Word of God. And not that we worship the Bible itself, because Jesus is the living Word, but it's that this Word of God is the expression that we have to lead us to the living Word. And so right from nursery on, they were teaching these little kids, this is really important. This Bible is important, and will introduce you to the living Word of God. The other thing was the kids involved in the supernatural, and it was he shared just different areas that the kids were released into different areas of ministering to people and miracles and the supernatural happening through kids. And you know, what I'm sharing here doesn't mean that that's not happening here. It's just that those things were striking me as, yeah, this is what we want to foster in our body. And I'm so thankful, again, it's been said before, for the people that we have involved in youth and Sunday school, Jesse and Karen and the vision that they have. And I just want to bless them in that. Then he shared a story as well about a man who in their church wasn't expecting to be involved with kids and probably didn't consider it to be an interest, really. But somehow he got drawn in. Maybe he thought he'd like to try it out. And as he began to work with the children, he began to really love it. And then he shared that, this man, on Sundays when he wasn't scheduled to be in the Sunday school, it was like he was missing the kids. He would wonder, okay, how's this one doing? How's that one doing? He was just wondering. He wanted to be there. And so those are just some of the things that struck me. And yeah.
I'd just like to say a quick yes and amen to what Elaine and Ruth and Daniel have just shared this morning. It's quite a shift to move from being externally motivated to being internally motivated by the presence of God, which is within his people. And that's where God dwells. And so, we come from a place where, 4 or 5 years ago, when we tried to get the children involved in our worship, it looked like chaos. And there's still some chaos, you might say, if you're looking at things externally. But you're also noticing, if you observe this morning, that I'm so glad Peter and Agnes are here. One of their grandchildren, Talia, one of my grandchildren, Shiloh, were actually leading the others, flowing together. That's huge. That's a huge shift. That couldn't happen overnight. But it's happened before our eyes. And so that's sort of the momentum we want to build on, so that church does not become a burden to try to get workers just to keep our programs going. But that, I believe what David and Sarah Bechtel bring to the table is the understanding, you see, that families are interconnected at a heart level. And there are ways that we can release people that will also involve the children, the Shilohs and the Talias and the others, in this. It's already happening. It's already happening. It's not like we're trying to make a huge abrupt shift here, but incrementally, gradually, step by step, there's a change happening where every part of the church service becomes something where we're not just spectators, but we are participants. And when children are participating in the service, they'll go away. I mean, why do we have a good time going to a gospel concert? Well, a good musician will involve the whole audience. And if we get involved, we have a great time because we're releasing something on the inside of us and not just sitting there as spectators and going away to complain that we didn't like the style of music. No, we're saying you carry something that's needed from the inside. And so I just want to close by saying, I believe it was, God actually used this church. David was a part of the planning committee with me at one time, just a few weeks before the convention. One of the workshop speakers had to cancel. We had this open. Who's going to fill this workshop? Well, right at that time, Amber Stellan said, there's a family from Madison, Wisconsin. They're coming here, and I know they carry something regarding children and family ministry that's important. I listened to a recording on YouTube. I shared it with David. We both shared a witness. I think their family is very similar to David and Svea and how they have raised their children who are moving in prophecy. They're moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we said yes when we shared this with the committee. Both Dwayne Siemens and everyone there was unanimous. This is the couple that we need to bring. And so when we took that step, well, then God used 5 or 6 of the people like Elaine and Ruth here who attended that workshop. And, I'm pretty sure that if we, as we proceed with this workshop, we're planning for October 12 to 14, that there's other FCA churches in this region that heard them, they're going to come and be part of this. But it's all part of moving from something more institutional to something more organic. and relational. And so how can this be done? Well, you can't just copy someone else, but it's all about learning to flow and releasing what God has put inside of us. So I'm looking forward to the conversations. Nothing is set in stone to say this is, we're going to try to impose a new program here, but we are saying that God is leading us somewhere. If you saw what Brendan Dick said on the, you know, what God is doing in this town, not everyone maybe has eyes to see it, but God is doing something that's internally motivated, and no attempts of man to squelch this will succeed because it's a movement of the Holy Spirit. So thank you, each one, to share it. I'm going to ask Jeff to come and just close us off, please. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Roger. Yeah, we're on a good journey. Some of you visitors here, maybe you're wondering, hey, we're not part of this journey. What did we sign up for? But this is our own internal stuff, and we're working it through, and we're confident that God is walking with us and leading us in this, and that's why we keep walking this road, right? Because we know where we're headed, and I like what you said. Sometimes we go this way or this way, and our church has probably done that lots, but the thing I love is that we keep walking, and it's like if you ever go 4x4ing in the sand hills, you got to keep moving, right? Because if you stop, you get stuck, and so we keep going, and we're trusting that God is with us. All right, we're a couple minutes over time, but bless you on your day. If you want someone to pray with you, there will be people at the front to pray with you. So thanks for coming this morning, and bless your day.